As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Annyeong!
Hola!
Hello, welcome back to the Let's Talk Hoya. I don't know why I'm saying that.
That was our third take.
Lydia, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today we're doing a long overdue episode that we've been wanting to do as a memory memoir for the dearest and greatest Toriel Nyhus.
Yes.
And a disclaimer that we might not be pronouncing it perfectly, but we have the greatest respect for Toriel.
Yes. For what we could find, I feel like we are pronouncing it properly.
Yes.
But just in case.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. But before we get into the episode and talking about Toriel, there's some Hoya news.
Las noticias.
So today's Hoya news is some personal Hoya news from two of my co-hosts here.
Oh.
So Jesse continues her lovely accomplishment of her Hoya Lacunosa blooming.
Yep. 2022 Heck right into 2023.
Dang.
I had another bloom open up and spread its fragrance. And two more in the line.
Really?
Yeah.
Like on the same
plant. Okay. And then I am also...
Multiple dunks.
Mm-hmm. It's got four total now.
Are you dunk mommy?
I'm dunk mommy. Anyway, and then I'm also waiting for to see if my unknown seedling cross will bloom, because it has formed a peduncle. It now has a little bunch of flowers at the end.
Ooh, little buds.
But are we going to get a open bloom or not? Stay tuned.
That is the Hoya Lacunosa X unknown seedling that we got from UPT. And I propagated it. And apparently Jesse's likes it more. Because mine doesn't have a damn peduncle on it.
Yeah.
But when that opens, you have to let me know.
Yeah.
I will be there with my camera.
I'm sure you will.
I will.
And then, Dunk Daddy.
Peduncle Pals.
Had one of his only truly, truly open for the first time.
Yeah.
Your Tom Sonia.
My Tom Sonia. And it really It put on a show.
Like 15 blooms at once, right? Yeah. Minimum?
Because that thing has grown peduncles. I have been telling people that. It has grown peduncles from like when I first got it.
Wow.
But nothing ever happened. They were just like sitting there. And it must be a winter bloomer because boom.
She's taken off.
I feel like a lot of other people's Thompsonias are also blooming around now.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, so.
So we're assuming it's a winter bloomer. But if you have one and it's bloomed like year round for you, let us know. Yeah.
And we did give it the good old sniff test today.
Oh, yeah.
I smell more lilacs because to me, lacunosa smell more gardenia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my personal scent.
I feel like it's a lilac mixed.
Oh, it's boring, apparently.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay, bye, everybody. We're leaving.
I feel like it's a lilac mixed with like an Easter lily.
Yeah.
Like there's a weird lily smell in there. And I'm not a big fan of lilies.
I like lilies.
Like those big like star-shaped ones that have like that pollen.
And they smell strong too.
Very strong. And that's what it smells like. So I think it's when I was younger, my mom had like a big bouquet of those. And I was eating breakfast and it was like making me nauseous sitting next to it.
Wow.
And so I haven't liked it since then.
Core memory there.
I know. Weird, right?
Yeah.
I have nothing to contribute because I don't know my flowers like you guys apparently because I smelled it and I was like, flowers.
Ooh, floral.
But a different floral than the lacunosa, but definitely floral.
And I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. I thought that was the white flowers one, but it wasn't. The person who had traded me said, no, that one's the pink one. The other one that I have that has bigger leaves.
Oh, that's the white one.
But that one doesn't even have a semblance of a peduncle on it. But I did see someone post a white Thompsonii, and I was like, oh, damn.
That one's more uncommon than the pink one. So if anybody has the white one and it bloomed for them this winter, we want to see.
Yeah, show it off.
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, loving that for you guys. I don't have anything blooming at the moment, so no Hoya news
from
me. That's
not true. My pajeria.
Oh, so yeah, I sent Adam a video message yesterday, and then this morning I peeped over and the little flower was sitting in the water fountain in my cabinet because it already opened. And yeah, so, but that one blooms all the time, so it's okay.
Okay.
So yeah, so no Hoya news from me.
Hashtag humblebrag.
Right?
But yeah.
There's Hoya news.
Las noticias.
I forgot we ended it with that too. Lydia's just waving her finger. And then Jesse was like, well, that's all your news.
Wrap it up.
Oh, it feels weird to be so cheerful and happy, but because of this episode.
I know.
But I think we can celebrate life.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think we need to be downer about it, but Toriel was like, I don't know. She was on a level with Ted Green in my mind.
Oh, she was an icon.
Yeah.
Definitely an icon. And truly and honestly, she was somebody that I thought like one day if I buy a plane ticket and I go to Sweden and go to one of, because we're part of the Swedish Hoya Society and they have like quarterly or like yearly event type things. And I was like, you know, if one day I buy a ticket and I go, I'll be able to meet her. Like one day I'm going to get to meet Toriel. So literally, I just remember you guys sent, I think it was the Instagram post that the Swedish Hoya Society had posted. And I don't know, it was just so devastating. And I never even met her in person, but
Lydia actually cried and she was like so emotional. And I was like, well, obviously I was really sad, but she was very emotional, I think, because you were like hoping to meet her one day.
Yeah.
It would have been amazing, especially for her to be like, you know.
Yeah.
Sharing her knowledge.
Yeah. So I'm happy to be doing this episode in her memory because she was such an icon. But, you know, part of me just is sad, you know, to never have gotten to actually meet her. But she leaves so much behind with her, you know, so.
Yeah, her knowledge, her friendships that she had and the plants. Oh, it's a lot.
I know. But Toriel was born in 1948 and she passed away October of last year, 2022.
Gosh, it doesn't feel like it's been that long.
I know, but it really has, which is crazy. It's already been 3 months.
Yes.
It really grounds me, or it makes me sit back and reflect on the plant community, how we can make these like such deep friendships or like these such long impacts on each other with this like small thing that plants, well, maybe not that they're small, but like this like
the hobby.
Yeah, this hobby, but it really does connect people. Mm-hmm. I've definitely met some people in the plant world that I'm like, you know, I would be really sad if they like pass away in a way that like family and friends that I'm right next to is the same, even though some of them I've never even met in person. And it brings me back to how special our community is.
Yeah, because whenever we first got into this hobby, you think, oh, I'm just doing it to get into plants. And then you have this community and then it just becomes this huge impact on your life. And I think especially for us, you know, not only having plants, but starting this podcast and our friendship coming together through plants, like it's just had this profound impact, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think like Toriel definitely just totally encapsulated that completely. And it's beautiful. But for someone who was so, so deep into the Hoya community and being somebody that I feel like is so crucial to the community and a lot of the information that we have, it was so hard finding information about her.
Yeah. I mean, that was a generation that didn't, I mean, even my generation didn't grow up with the internet and where everything was documented. So I don't know. It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
You know, same thing happened with Ted Green. We didn't find about a bunch of information about him.
Unless it was stuff he himself was, and he wasn't like, I'm Ted Green and this and this and this about me. He was all about the Hoya.
Yeah.
And so was Toriel.
Yeah. And there was someone who did an interview with him, and that's where we got most of our information. But I didn't even find like an interview or anything like that that was done. And maybe there's one somewhere. It's just such like, you know, deep into information somewhere and we would have to dig it out. But I think it's just really, really cool that forever we'll have a piece of her visually from that video from Summer Rain Oaks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which was my first introduction to Toriel.
Yeah, same.
I had no idea.
It was also like one of my first introductions to like a big Hoya collector
video.
Mm-hmm. And that video was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. It was a while ago, and that's right when Jesse and I were getting into Hoya. So it was one of those like first Hoya videos that I had seen, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so many Hoya, and here we are today.
Yeah.
It's funny to think 3 years ago, because I was like, oh, that was probably when I was, but I was already into Hoya.
Yeah, you were. You were one of the, like, those OG, like, I got into Hoya before you did.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
No, I know.
But it's just time has flown.
Yeah.
But yeah, that video of Toriel when Summer, because I, you know, obviously love Summer Rain Oaks.
Yeah.
But just from the moment she opens the door, she just has the sweetest demeanor. And I'm just like, I want to hug this person. I don't know why, but I've always felt that. Every time I watch that video, I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I know. And I think that's like the general feeling of a lot of people in the Hoya Society, if not everybody, who actually got to meet Toriel and have interactions with her. And we'll read some of the stories from the Hoya Telegraph from the Hoya Swedish Society. We got permission from the society members to share some of these stories, and we'll do that in a little bit here. But her legacy definitely lives on. You know, she was a chairman for years and years for the Hoya Swedish Society. And up until her passing, she was an editor for the Hoya Telegraph. And I know there were some other articles that she had been working on, and they're still going to share it, which I think is awesome. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing that last bit of information that Toriel had for us to share and leave with us. So,
and she had a son too, right?
Yes. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's her only son or.
Gosh, I know. And not understanding the impact that you're probably, he probably, unless he is super into plants, he probably doesn't understand the impact that she's had.
Yeah.
But I was saying to you guys earlier how I rewatched that Summer Rain Oaks video today.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered back to when Lydia and I watched it together and I was like, her house is like full of, like, is there room for her to sit? Like, this lady is crazy. And then when I was watching today, I was like, actually, it's really organized. That looks really clean and neat. Yeah. I could get that set up here. So I don't know, like, I think I'm just a little more plant crazy to where I'm like, plants taking over isn't like a bad thing.
Yeah,
as I was watching today, I was like, okay, you know, she actually had it really organized and it worked well for her. It might work for me.
So when we first watched it, we were like, oh my gosh, there's no couch. There's no dining table. We didn't see a bed. And then here we are 3-4 years later, just thinking, oh my gosh, where do I get that? Can I do that to my living room?
Who needs a bed?
I know.
Yeah, I can sleep under one of those shelves she had Hoyas on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so absolutely. But we, like I said, got permission to read some of the stories shared by some of the Swedish Hoya Society members. And we're going to share one with you now.
Yeah. And just so, sorry.
I thought you were like, be quiet. Don't talk. I'm going to kick you. No.
Just so it's clear, we joined the Swedish Hoya Society, which is a yearly cost, and they send out four. So each quarter they send out a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And so these stories were in the fourth quarter of 2022, the newsletter. It came out actually not too long ago in January because Toriel was
passing.
Because she had passed and she was also the editor. Like, it, they're feeling the loss deeper than losing a friend. It's, but these stories that we're going to read are from that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. And they were Google translated, right? They were not professionally translated. So if something from the original text is not correct, blame that on
Google.
The technology, not on us.
Because the Hoya Telegraph does come out in Swedish.
Yeah, and we haven't learned it yet.
So we have to Google Translate and it'll just be the best that Google provided us.
Yeah. It's really cool because they will send us the hard copy so we can see the photos. And then they also send us a PDF that we can translate. The PDF does not have the photos, but then you can just look at the hard copy while you're going through it. So it's very neat.
Yeah, it is.
And they really accommodate, you know, people.
Yeah,
like
I love
us.
That they make it accessible to us.
So the first story we're going to read is by the chairman, the current chairman of the Swedish Hoya Society. And I apologize if I pronounce this incorrectly, but their name is Asa Svansson. I first met Toril in the fall of 1996. At that time, I was living in Stockholm, and one evening, the house phone rang, and a woman on the other end introduced herself as Toril Nyhus. She had seen that I was one of three members living in Stockholm in the Swedish Hoya Society. She wondered if I wanted to come along to a Hoya meeting with Eva Karen Weiberg in Dalarna. Of course I wanted to. We talked nonstop about everything between heaven and earth during the long car journey, and have been in regular contact since that time. At that Hoya meeting, Toril decided that she would accompany Eva Karen on the next fundraising trip to Asia, along with Ted Green, Dale Kloppenberg, and Ed Gilding. On that trip, a Hoya species was collected, EG00897, into the Philippines, and I got a cutting of it from Toril. When I moved to Holland a few years later and spoke to her on the phone, I mentioned that it was blooming at my place, and 5 hours later, there was a knock on my door, and there stood Toril with the camera around her neck and wanted to photograph my Hoya bloom. It turned out that I was the first to get that particular one to bloom, and Toril's pictures, as well as the mother plant flower from my plant, later contributed to the species being published as Hoya surijoensis. I still have that plant, and it is one of my favorites. Toril was a lovely person who, with her enthusiasm and devotion, was happy to spread knowledge about growing, facts, and tips. The Swedish Hoya Society's work to spread knowledge about the genus Hoya will continue in Toril's spirit.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Looking to elevate your gardening game this season? Well, look no further than Coast of Maine, your go-to source for premium organic soils for over 28 years. Organic approved and sourced from oceans and farms, their full range of garden and lawn products are designed to restore roots to the natural world.
So picture this, you're struggling with lackluster soil just like I did last year, and your garden plans just aren't thriving. And that was until we discovered Coast of Maine. Their products infuse my soil with the healthy microbes and nutrients it was craving, resulting in vibrant outdoor plants that practically thanked me for the upgrade.
Omri listed and crafted from natural ingredients like lobster shells and fish bones, their products not only nourish your plants, but also your peace of mind.
Are you ready to take your garden to the next level? Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. That's why their products are carried by local retail partners who provide advice and insight, not just found in big box stores.
And Coast of Maine knows, from beginning to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere.
Their products make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone.
Let's get growing together.
Visit coastofmaine.com today. That's coastofmaine with an E.com.
Aww. That was so cute.
I know.
And full of emotion.
So much emotion.
Also, is that the journey, though? Remember when we were doing the episode of Mr. Ted Green, we talked about the one of the expeditions that they all went on. Mm-hmm. Is that expedition? That expedition?
I mean, she went on so many of them.
Yeah, there was so many of them. It could have been.
So I don't know. Expedition.
Yeah, the expedition that they went on. But oh my gosh, that just like makes me think. I feel like if like we didn't live close to each other and say I lived 5 hours away and there was this Hoya and we're all excited to see a bloom. And I had told you guys like, guys, this Hoya, it's like the blooms are opening. I could see Adam showing up to my house with his little camera. All right, bring her over.
Yeah, oh,
I could totally
see that. And
the camera thing is, and lights. And yeah. Lights.
Only true like Hoya heads will really like understand that that is literally worth a 5 hour drive.
Oh, 100%.
And see. Everyone else would be like, what are you doing? Because I remember last year I bought a plant from Tucson and we live in Phoenix. And I hit up my friend and I was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And he was like, not much. I was like, how would you feel about driving to Tucson and back with me tonight? And he was like, okay. And literally I went and picked him up and we drove to Tucson and back. And every time now he's like, how's that plant doing? I'm like, oh, it died. But
oh,
like,
no.
It was worth it to me because it was a Hoya that I really wanted.
Yeah.
And I had it for a while.
Yeah.
But I think he thinks I'm crazy, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
100%.
Which one was it, by the way?
I don't even remember.
But that was like a 4 hour round trip, right?
Yeah. It was a 4 hour round. Yeah. This is a 5 hour one way. So yeah. It was a 10 hour drive.
Yeah.
But again, worth it. We drive to California 5 hours there, 5 hours back.
Yeah.
Regularly just to be part of a bigger group of people who understand our insanity love for Hoya. Yeah.
It's like the excitement that April from Unsolicited Plant Talks would have felt when her Lauterbachii last year bloomed for the first time. And like everybody was just so, so excited for her. You know, it's such a similar thing. Like we just get all super excited. Like, oh my gosh, that bloom. We've never seen that bloom before, you know? And it's so sweet.
Yeah.
Did we get to see that? We did get to see like at least a little.
We did. We were there before it bloomed.
So we saw like the buds.
And they looked like apples.
Yeah.
They did. Like they were literally as big as apples dangling from a tree. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
We should have driven back when they opened.
They're opening right now, actually.
Okay, Vamanos.
Yeah.
And I was like, But
like you guys said, I mean, Toriel had been on so many expeditions between 97 to 2002. She made several trips to Asia, Philippines, Borneo, Malaysia, Sumatra, all of those iconic places that we hope to go to one day.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah, see those Hoya. Hopefully by then they're not completely deforested. But,
but if not, somebody from the Swedish Hoya Society can invite us to their place.
Sometimes I get a little nervous when I think about going on like an expedition because I'm like, oh, the bugs, the snakes. But I'm like, you know what? Tareel did this. Like people do this all the time. Like yeah. I can handle it.
Lydia 100% cannot handle it.
Oh, I know.
She would have to be in one of those bubbles from Jurassic Park. You know, the ones where they like go through the forest in a glass bubble. That would have to be her. And I would be like, you know what? Whatever. If it's going to bite me, it's going to bite me. Whatever.
There was one story, though, in the Hoya Telegraph. And I can't remember who it was, but they had gone on an expedition with Tareel. And they were saying, well, I wasn't afraid of the snake, but she was. And she was afraid of something else, but I wasn't. So I feel like it'll be like that, except I would be scared of everything.
Yeah. She'd be like, is it foggy here, guys? What do you guys think that means? Is that contamination? And I'd be like, okay. It's mist. Breathe, lady.
But she had been on so many expeditions that she has a Hoya named after her, which is Hoya.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag goals. We know Jessie wants a Hoya named after her.
Yes. Whether it's a newly discovered in the wild Hoya or it's Lydia and Adam's pollination baby, I'm getting in there.
But this is a Hoya that originates from Borneo, and it's Hoya nihusi, which is one of my top wish list Hoya. I tried to get one at the beginning of this year when I was like mass accumulating all these Hoya that I wanted, and I wasn't able to get one, but she is such a beauty, and I hope to get one.
I love that. And there's images of it in the book, A Guide to Hoyas of Borneo.
Ooh, let's see it.
A Guide to Hoyas of Borneo by Anthony Lamb and Mikel Rada. But yeah, just look at these blooms.
Oh, and then Tareel with her little headlamp, camera.
It's like that's like one of the original GoPros.
Oh.
And she was doing like
an expedition.
I'm literally just like making this story up in my head, but she was obviously on an expedition and she was doing like a point of view video, and I want to see that video.
It was probably great. Like, you can only imagine, but
I mean, I love that little photo of her with a GoPro strapped to her head, and she was like,
it's like the photo of you with the magnifying glasses. it's the hobby life.
Yeah. But we'll post a photo of Toriel's namesake Hoya, because I don't know, I think it's gorgeous. She is a cutie. So hopefully this will be the year I'll be able to get it.
Yes, if any of you have it and are willing to trade.
Hit us up in our DMs. Yeah.
Keep it appropriate. Mine.
If it's inappropriate, go ahead and send it to Lydia. Just kidding.
Oh my gosh. But probably because, you know, Tareel had so many friendships within the Hoya Society, not only the members of the Swedish Hoya Society, but a lot of the bigger researchers that we know now, like Nathalie Simonson, Mikel Rada, who are really out there
doing the most.
Yeah, spearheading like those publications. I know she was also friends with Syriza, who's a really big hybridizer and has a huge nursery in Thailand. And so probably because of that, she has a lot of mentions and citations within different academic publications. But she's contributed, as far as I was able to found, she was the author and contributed to a research topic in Hoyas, and also co-authored a publication, but also received 13 different citations. So she was really out there doing a lot of, you know, research and trying to find more information on Hoya and making it more widely available to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in our Ted Green tribute episode, she also, you know, came and spent some time with Ted Green, and
yeah,
I don't know. Their friendship just makes me.
I know. Oh. It just breaks my heart, because when Mr. Ted Green passed, she wrote that memorial article
in the Hoya Telegraph.
And then, right. And the one in Stemma, she also contributed to. And now
right
here we are.
Right before her passing.
Yeah, I know. 2022 was not the year, man.
No, it was not.
No.
But there's another story Would you like to read that now?
Yeah. So this story, also published in the Hoya Telegraph, was written by Nathalie Simonson, who is a botanist and out there doing a lot of research and publishing a lot of information on Hoya and other plant species too. But Toril was near and dear to her for the past 25 years. Toril was like a mother to Nathalie. And there's this really, really sweet story on Hoya paradisiae, which is actually a recently published Hoya. And so I'm just going to read this little part that she wrote. Okay. Toril even set up a whole room at her house just to grow my Hoyas, mainly from Papua New Guinea, partly to preserve them as a living backup in case something went wrong with my own plants, and partly to see which of us could produce flowers first so we could identify each plant and hopefully discover new species. This is exactly how I discovered at Toril's home an entirely new species that just a couple of weeks after her passing was published as Hoya paradisiae. Both she and I were so surprised when the pairs of little bright green, sweet buds just grew and grew and grew. We both thought they would break out the next day because they were already big enough in relation to the foliage. But no, they didn't stop growing and the days just went by. I slept over with her so we could both see what this Hoyad would turn out to be.
Yep. Dedication.
We both literally dropped our jaws that morning when the tiny little leafed plant had finally burst its big swelling buds and displayed the unexpected long hairs along the edges of a big, beautiful bells. We fell so in love with it. Hoya paradisiae probably instantly became one of her favorites, and it happily bloomed several times at her place. I have many unforgettable memories with Toril, and I have much in my life to thank her for. Undeniably, my life would have looked completely different today if I hadn't gone to the Hoya meeting in Stockholm. I miss you, Toril. My deepest thanks for these 25 years. Nathalie Simonson.
Oh my goodness.
That is a tearjerker. Because Toril really set Nathalie's life in a different trajectory.
Yeah, they met when she was 15, 16 years old and became a mother figure to her that entire time.
Oh, I did just look up the Hoya paradisiae.
I have that.
You have that?
I have it.
Okay, so.
Aren't those blooms gorgeous?
I'm going to get a little TMI here, but when I was little, I would suck my thumb and I would like pick these fuzzies off of a blanket and like tickle my nose with it while I'm sucking my thumb. And I feel like this could be a nose tickler. Like I just want to stick my nose in there.
Isn't it freaking drop dead gorgeous?
It is.
Really it looks like a little dandelion is hiding inside of there.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
I'm make sure you post those excited. So that the listeners can also see them.
Yeah, I got a piece of it, not realizing that it was a newly published Hoya, because when we had gone to California, that publication had just came out not too long ago. And I saw it on a shelf and I was like, oh, the foliage on this looks really cute. It looks like some of the Hoya that they've been finding in Papua. And so I bought it. And then that week I realized what it was, and oh my gosh, I am freaking stoked for it to bloom one day.
Yeah.
We should get a cutting of that to Adam. So we can see it bloom like next week.
I do want a cutting of a Hoya that blooms those big blooms. That's not the Imperialis, because I did not enjoy that one. And it never
cricket.
The moment of silence.
And it never bloomed for me, like not even semblance of a peduncle, but yeah. Like the Mapajaria.
Probably because you didn't love it.
Like
I wanna
see those like big. I've never had a Hoya that had the big blooms like that.
Nice big blooms.
Yeah. But paradisiae.
I know.
And also it's just beautiful. Knowing like how excited Toril and Nathalie were. And the fact that they were like having sleepovers to watch it open and yeah. Then it became one of our favorites. It's just so, it makes it even more special.
I know. And it was just published not too long after Toril had passed. So I don't know. It is really special. But I don't know, just reading these stories, like I just want to think, I mean, they're probably not going to listen to this because it's in English. Yeah. But if anybody does, like I just want to really think everybody at the Swedish Hoya Society for allowing us to even read these stories, because usually the Hoya Telegraph is for paid members of the society, but they allowed us to do this for, you know, the tribute for Tyrael. So I just want to thank them for allowing us to share this with y'all. So
yeah. And also thank you for giving a piece of yourself in these stories, because it really just like helps us get a better picture of who this amazing woman was.
Yeah.
The impact that she's had on many, many lives.
Yeah. And the impact that, you know, she'll continue to have, especially in our lives as avid Hoya collectors who, you know, want to find and have more information. You know, a lot of that is going to still come from Tyrael and the work that she's contributed. So,
Yeah, for sure.
But as we end this episode, there's going to be a little clip that we're going to share from Summer Rae Oak's YouTube video, just so that a little bit of Tyrael's essence lives in this episode forever. But also we'll link the link to that video if you guys want to go ahead and have a peek at it, see some of her collection, absolutely beautiful, and just get to see, you know, what a wonderful human she was.
Yeah, for sure. Take a day and just watch the video and realize that we're just so connected in this community.
Yeah.
I think it's so important to be grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. But if you like,
if you like this
episode, if you like this podcast and joining us for Hoya information, you can also find us on a few other places.
I'm leaving that in the episode. Because I'm like, I'm giving Lydia a blank stare and she's like, okay, rip it up. That's my spot. And I forgot. Please leave us a review. Reviews really help us get into the ears of other listeners and it helps the podcast. And if you did enjoy this episode and you want to see more, subscribe. And you can follow us over on Instagram at lets.talkhoya. And you can follow us individually. I am at NotDude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at Perritos y Plants. Adios.
Annyeong.
Bye.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
So good to meet you. I already see some Hoyas in here.
Yes, they are everywhere.
Oh my goodness. So this is the Hoya Haven.
Some say so.
Yeah. How many Hoyas do you actually have here?
Oh, I have a little more than 400.
400?
Yes.
Wow, holy crap. Is this all species or some cultivars or?
I think I have maybe two or three cultivars.
Cultivars and the rest are species?
Yes.
Well, should we step in and just see a little bit of what you have here? Where are most of yours actually coming from? Any particular country or are you just collecting them through other collectors?
I have from other collectors, but I know all the big collectors, so it's easy to get them for me. I've been to Asia, I think it's 12 times. So I've been in the Philippines once, back in 97 on my first trip. And then I've been to Borneo 4 times. And I get friends everywhere. Mm. So I have friends there and in Malaysia and in Thailand and Indonesia. And I've been to Sumatra twice and to Laos twice.
So you know your way around in order to be able to get some of these beautiful Hoyas. And I heard, you know, from folks that there is a strong Hoya collective here within Sweden.
Yes.
And are you a part of that?
I've been the president or part of the board for 20 years.
Wow. How did your love for Hoyas start? Because right now I'm kind of looking and it looks like you have all Hoyas here and you're almost exclusively growing Hoyas, but did you grow other plants first or did you just dive right into Hoyas?
I asked my mother once when it started because she was not growing any pots.
Yeah.
And she said, as soon as I started to walk, I was crazy about Hoya, about every plant with flower. Yeah. So when I moved out from home, I started to have pots everywhere. Any kind of plants. But in the 70s, I discovered that I had three Hoyas. Hmm. I had a Bella, Multiflora, and Carnosa, of course.
Okay, so common ones.
Yes, yeah. But I could see they were very different, the way they grow, the way they look, but they are the same shape in the flower. Mm. And that made me interested, and I thought it must be many more. Mm. And I couldn't find any.
Yeah.
But I tried.
Yeah.
And then I read in a book in the 80s, I think, that in USA you can find 7-8 more. Mm. So I asked every person going to USA if they can search a Hoya for me. I had never any luck.
Yeah.
Because later I understood that only the collectors had them. It was not in the shop. Hmm. But in 96, I discovered we had a Hoya Society in Sweden. And that was like Christmas Eve for me. So in just a few weeks, I bought 25 new species.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the girl who started this society, I asked her about going and see Hoya somewhere. I thought about gardens in Denmark or Holland or something. And she said, I'm going to Borneo next spring. Do you want to be with me on that trip? And I did. And yeah. Then it started.
Then it really started. Well, it sounds like, you know, over a decade, you had really had this intrigue and curiosity for Hoyas. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you saw more, you're just like, I have to have them all.
Yes, exactly. It was like that in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.